and welcome back to New Every Day. My name is Carrie.
And my name is Jen. And on today's show, we're talking about missions.
Again.
Part 2B.
Welcome back, and we're so glad that you've tuned in, whether you're listening on Stitcher, whether you are watching on YouTube or from our website, neweveryday.tv, we welcome you. Mm-hmm. We also invite you to check us out on Facebook. You can follow us there. We invite you to leave a post. You can send us a message. We would love to hear from you.
Yes.
So, Jen, the last 2 weeks, we have been talking about missions, short-term missions, supporting local missionaries, supporting them, very important.
Yes, I agree.
So we also shared about, you know, I just got back from Nicaragua for a very short-term mission of 10 days. But yeah, we still had some things that we wanted to talk about and share. So one of the things that you had mentioned, Jen, when you went to Cambodia, was that you struggled when you got home with just the amount of wealth that we have here.
Yes.
And struggling with maybe some guilt. Like, tell us about that.
When I was in Cambodia, I almost want to say slapped silly. Like, just like whap. And I was like, oh my. With regards to how much we have compared to how little they have. I remember driving down the road in our truck and just thinking, oh my goodness, we're in this, you know, truck and we're sitting on benches in the back and we would never do this in Canada. And yet, on a motorcycle beside me is a family. Little girl, dad, another child, mom. Mom is holding an IV bag in her hand, right? On a motorcycle. Like, it's...
For herself?
For the child. Like, you could see that it was going into the child. And the mom was holding on a motorcycle. We would never do that here. And I remember just coming away from that going, what? What? I don't understand this. We would, we went into a community outside of the city. And like the kids were all clothed and clean. And I'm like, okay, like this would seems normal. And then we went further in, and they said specifically, when you go further in, you're going to see more of the poverty.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. So we actually had to get on a boat to go to this island, and the kids come running towards us, and their hair is all matted,
yeah.
And like the kids aren't wearing shirts, and they are dirty.
Yeah.
But man, were they happy. Like they were just smiling and happy and playing, and that's what they wanted to do, was play with us. And we went to a dump, and we actually there was a school beside the dump that said school for dump workers. Yeah. And so we saw these little children running across the dump,
like
piles of garbage, and they were singing and happy. And I'm thinking, well, like this is outside of what I would perceive to be acceptable,
right?
And I really struggled with it. And so when I came home, so I had been there for 3 weeks and I saw just kids, you know, with old bikes, playing with old bikes, kids with clothes on that they probably had worn all week or maybe all month or all year,
yeah.
You know, until they grow out of them.
Yeah.
And yet they're playing and they're loving life and they're happy. And I really struggled with materialism. Like thinking, well, they don't have a new bike. They don't have a phone. Their clothes are filthy. They're playing with a stick. Like, how could these kids possibly be happy and love life and, you know, be successful where they are living? And I came back and I remember landing in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And these two people came walking towards me and they were massive, like tall in height, tall in stature, but also
like I've had too many Slurpees.
Too many Slurpees. And I really struggled with it because I'm like, you could barely fit one of those people on those motorcycles. And yet here is an entire family. Now, granted, people in Cambodia are smaller in stature, but very rarely would you find an overweight person.
Yeah. And that's not, I totally know what you're saying. It's not to say that, like, if you, we're not saying if you're overweight, that
no,
you are indulgent and that, you know, I've got family members who they've got medical conditions where they just, they cannot lose weight. So we're not saying
that. No, and that's not what I'm saying, but I was, it was more like another slap to say,
it's like, wow, we have so much that we have an overabundance.
We have an overabundance. And I remember as soon as I got home from that trip, I went to Rochester on a missions trip.
Yeah.
And I remember going into the Wendy's for a meal. And they said, well, what size do you want? And they showed, I said, well, what did your sizes look like? And like the medium was this big, the large, and then like the super large was like a 2 liter pop. And I'm like, I'll have a small, please.
Wow.
And I really struggled with that as well. Just the access. Or excess, the access was just so prevalent and so easy to get. And I remember going to the mall and I literally had to leave the mall. Like my friends went in to a clothing store and I'm thinking, I know what's in your closets. Like you have a closet full. And I actually had to leave the store that we were in. Because I was overcome by the fact that I don't need any of this. And that's what I struggled with when I came home.
Yeah.
Was just the balance of the fact. And the Lord had to do a real work in my heart to say, I have called you to North America. This is where you are born. This is where you are raised. And I had to actually start giving thanks for the goodness that the Lord had blessed me with in that area of my life. But I really, like, I didn't buy anything for myself for about a year. I think I bought one pair of pants. That was it. Because I struggled with the, here are these kids in Cambodia and Vietnam who have nothing, and yet they're happy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? And here I am with my closet full of clothes, my drawers full of clothes, my fridge full of food, and I can be complaining. Oh, I have nothing to wear. I have nothing to eat. And yeah,
I've got to cook something.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I really, for about a year, I really struggled with what am I called to? Like, how should I be spending my money? What actually constitutes happiness?
Right.
And I think that was one of the biggest things that I struggled with was, you know, those kids were perfectly happy. And I had this mindset that they weren't.
Or you said, you mentioned success.
Yeah.
Well, what does success in this life really look like?
Yeah.
And, you know, we would say, well, we know it's not about having money. We know that's not about that. But, you know, we want a nice house. We want a car. We want all these things.
Yeah.
But what really constitutes success? Actually, I'd be curious to see what our viewers have to say about that. So maybe we'll put a quick post on Facebook. For this week, what do you think constitutes a successful life? What does that look like?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was one of my struggles in coming back from the mission
field. With the materialism that we see here in North America.
Yeah. Yeah. And what is enough or what is the right balance? And to actually give thanks if I have wealth. Because I was rich.
Compared. And most of the world does not live like we live in North America.
Yes.
And there are people in North America America who live well below the poverty line, but our poverty line and the poverty line in Nicaragua and, you know, isolated parts of China is completely different.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's a struggle. I did struggle with that too the first couple times coming back. Like, what am I really, do I need this? What am I buying?
Yeah. I agree. Like, these people are living on $1, one American dollar a day. Mm-hmm. That's all they would need. And so you'd see them rumbling through the, rustling through the garbage just to find enough that they could sell possibly, which is interesting that they're going through the garbage to find stuff that they can sell or to live off of. But all they needed is one American dollar a day. And so it causes me to think, what do I actually need? How much do I need every day to live on?
Yeah.
And I don't want to be cheap. But to actually surrender that to the Lord, to say, Lord, what do I need to live on? What is important?
And when we say, give us this day our daily bread, trusting Him daily even with our food, is that a scary thing to ask?
It can be. It can be. When you open up the fridge and you think, oh, there's nothing here. Like, are we actually willing to surrender that to Him and say, okay, Lord, can you help me be creative? Like, obviously, very few of us would say there's nothing in the cupboard. When really, it really is, there's nothing going on here. Like, the creativity isn't working
to cook.
And it could be lazy and because something doesn't pop up.
Yeah.
But are we going to say, okay, Lord, I don't want to spend $15, $20 on a meal when I really do have food in the fridge and the cupboard. Would you help me be creative so that I can get the sustenance I need without spending money? Because we do have food.
Yeah. And that's something that I think maybe I need to pray more about, okay, asking God, well, what's it look to be like to be a cheerful giver? Help me be a cheerful giver, because in the Bible it says God loves those who give cheerfully.
Yeah.
So praying that. So on the flip side of this, Jen, we were talking earlier about how I've met people who have gone on short and longer term missions trips and have come home and have kind of been a little bit of spiritual snooty pants. So I say that.
Can you define
a spiritual snooty pants?
Just for those that maybe English is not their first language.
So they kind of gave the impression that North American culture was really bad and that we are bad people because we have resources.
Okay.
And that, you know, our spirituality was not as good as the spirituality they experienced in a third world.
Mm.
And in some ways, they were right. They saw that we are not using our wealth the way we should. We are not investing in people the way that we should. And sometimes they were right.
Yes.
But sometimes they came across as unloving and almost not giving people the hope. They didn't give a sense of hope that, you know what, we can make a difference and let's invest in this together. What difference can we make locally for the people who are really struggling? It was like, you know what, we're terrible people. And so it kind of maybe put a bad taste in my mouth initially for short-term missions. And I was just, I don't know, have you experienced that or have you seen that?
I guess I have heard, you know, we'll send kids on mission trips and they'll come back and they'll be like, well, they do it this way in Africa, or they do it this way. And usually most of the kids that I've been in contact with have been in Africa.
Yeah.
So, you know, they'll, when they take up the offering, they sing and they dance. And how come we don't sing and dance when we take up the offering? And how come, you know, how come we aren't meeting together as a church to pray more? Or how come? And it's like, I'm so glad that you are on fire. And I don't want to quench the fire that is going on inside of you.
Yeah.
But you're actually putting, you are not encouraging people to rise up. You're actually turning them away.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do we, I think that's a great question to ask is how do we,
like, what's our response when we come home?
Yes.
Yeah. And they are sometimes, I think, man, we need to adopt that practice that came from this country or from this other church in another community locally. Like, they are really investing time to get to know Jesus, and it's coming out as a wonderful fruit of worship or a wonderful fruit of serving in their community. And that can happen locally here. It can happen in any culture because God is the God of every culture, every person.
Yeah.
And we're all going to be praising him in heaven one day.
Yes.
But that, I want to bring that here, and people come back from missions excited and wanting to implement things in their own church. And I think as a church family, we need to encourage those people too.
Yes.
So it works both ways. I think people coming back from missions, it also requires a sensitivity to our own culture. Mm-hmm. But I think we can have a holy discontent for the things that are not right. And as a church family, we need to support that and say, yep, you're right. We shouldn't be doing things that way. We need to be more generous. And then encouraging them.
I do agree. And so in the process of going on a missions trip, listen for the call of God. Like, okay, God, do you want me to go? And then once you're there, Lord, what is it that you have for me while I am here? And then as you're coming back, okay, Lord, what is it actually that you want me to share? Because I have learned that not everything we are supposed to share. Like, some things are just for you and the Lord. And we're not actually supposed to share those things.
Like how Mary treasured things in her heart.
Yeah. Like, sometimes the Lord wants the experience just between you and him. That's all it's meant for. I'm often, like, I'm mindful of, you know, when you're in a relationship with someone, and how when one person shares, you know, intimate details with someone who's not in the relationship, it can actually be quite hurtful. Like, you've broken trust. I think sometimes with the Lord, we have experiences with the Lord, and they are specifically just for you and the Lord. So I think when coming back from missions trip, to say, okay, Lord,
what should I share?
What do you want me to share? What is beneficial to your kingdom? And not just like the soft, warm, fuzzy, but how do you want me to challenge your church? How do you want, like, what do you want me to, how do you want me to witness to my friends? And that was one of the things that we, you know, when we, I picked you up from the plane in Nicaragua, we actually talked about what it was that you were going to share with your family and friends and colleagues.
And they were like, how was your trip?
Yeah. And what is, I think that was a very beneficial conversation, because then it gives us a chance to actually dialogue and say, okay, what is it that you want me to share, Lord?
Yeah.
Like, what do you want me to share about this trip that would be honoring and glorifying to you?
Mm-hmm.
Because it is easy just to, you know, go from beginning to end and the good, the bad, and the ugly. And sometimes it's just like, okay, maybe I need to learn, you know. And we talked about this in a previous show, the whole guarding our tongue.
Yeah. And sometimes even when we've experienced something in church family, we just go out and blah, blah, blah. And a fool gives vent to his anger, says in Proverbs. So
Got
to be mindful of that. But I guess we better wrap it up, eh, Jen?
Sure.
Well, thanks again for tuning in, and hope that you'll join us next week. And why don't we pray? Will you pray, Jen?
I will. Lord, you have called us to be on mission, whether it's in our home, in our community, in our city, in our country, or in our world. You have called us on mission. And Lord, there's so many aspects to it. We ask first and foremost, Father, that you would help us not to be afraid, to ask, what mission do you want me to be on? Secondly, where would you like me to go? Thirdly, Lord, how would you go about providing for it? And then, Lord, help us to trust that you're going to do all of that. You are God. And so, Father God, we want to surrender our concepts of mission trips to you. And we ask that you would give us a heart for the lost, wherever they might be, and the courage to share your word with them, whether it's through tent making, as Paul did, or by sharing the gospel with our words. Father, would you help us? And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I was just reminded when we were praying how Paul surrendered his life. When Jesus called Saul, who then became Paul, he surrendered his life to him. And he would have an idea of where he should go. And then, as you read in the book of Acts, it said, well, the Spirit shut that door. Well, then the Spirit, he thought about going here, and then the Spirit shut that door, and then he thought about going here, and the Spirit shut. And then he had this vision of Macedonia, of people saying, you know, come to us, come to us. And if he had gone off on all those other places, he would have been nowhere near able to go to Macedonia. And so when we talk about surrendering that to the Lord, then it's like, trust God.
Trust God. Do it. We just got to go.
You just kind of
do some things.
Yes.
And he takes care of the rest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we hope that you have enjoyed listening in today. Once again, you can find all the information that you need to know about us on neweveryday.tv, which is, yes, going to appear magically at the bottom of the screen. And you can also connect with us on Facebook and email.
And now on Stitcher.
And now on Stitcher.
And also want to thank Category 5 TV for hosting, for Robbie Ferguson for directing, producing, and editing this show. And thank you also to Eco-Alkaline Batteries for powering our camera and microphones. And we hope that you'll join us next week.
As we celebrate the fact that God has given us breath, once more, new every day.
Have a great week.
Cheers there, Jen.